And now it's time for Our Life Together Among the Works of Art, the radio show that says, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Yes, money can buy happiness. So stop by on the way home and pick up a few. As our episode opens this morning, we find ourselves in Red's bedroom in the little apartment at 522.
Hey, could you pass that pile of socks over there?
Where? Oh, here you go. As I was saying, we find ourselves watching Red stuffing clothes and toilet articles into a battered old two-suiter. Where's your two suits, Red?
Oh, I don't even need one suit. My sister got married already.
You seem to be packing your bags and jumping ship.
I'm going for one lousy week.
A lot can happen in a week.
What's this? A little foreshadowing?
No, I don't have any supernatural powers, Red, but I was on the phone before with a little old lady in Holy Falls, Oklahoma, and she told me that...
I've got a plane to catch. Hand me that folder.
This one? The Robot Queen?
Yeah, hand it over, will you?
Could it be? No, it is. The famous novel in progress.
We stop clowning around.
Chapter the first. The sun neither rises nor sets on Alpha Centauri 451. The creatures who dwell on this small, out-of-the-way planet have no words for day and night. The star around which they orbit hangs unblinking in the sky.
Hey, don't get me angry.
I just thought you'd appreciate hearing your work on the radio.
Well, I know it's almost too wonderful not to read, but I plan to make it even better before I share it with the panning public.
All right, here, catch.
Klutz!
I'm sorry, Red, that was clumsy. Here, let me help you. Hey, what's this? Raw sex? The creature wraps several of its dozen tentacles around him, stroking his body with a soft, surprisingly unslimy touch.
Would you cut that out?
As the warm limbs encircled him, he suddenly grasped his predicament from a strange new perspective. Were not all organisms, whatever their place in the web of the living universe, were they not all constructed of the same vital goo?
You want me to lose my temper?
It isn't that interesting.
So why are you so damn interested in it?
Yes, I'll put the water on. Ooh. Hey, Red. Top of the morning to you. What's all this?
Oh, just packing.
Oh, I totally forgot. Yeah, I was going to ask you if you wanted to see the man who knew too much later on, but, well, I guess you'll be flying off into the sunset. Oh, listen, did Sarah call?
Not since I've been up.
Well, if you're going to be here for a while, could you get the phone?
Well, sure.
And if she calls, tell her... Well, tell her I'll call her later, okay?
Right.
And, of course, it dissolves calls.
No problem.
You making coffee, George?
Just setting fire to the kettle now, baby.
You are not.
Oh, I was just about to.
Yeah, you've been standing around here gossiping with Red. Morning, Red. Is today the big day?
Yeah, back to the old homestead for me.
You the only one up?
Guess so. I haven't seen anybody but you guys.
Where's Phoebe? Is she still asleep?
No. She must have gone out before I got up.
Marcy, do we have any milk?
I don't know. Look for it.
Any milk here? Beep, beep. How about here?
Look at that.
Oh, just testing the sensitivity of the pectoral
Can't
muscles.
Can't you wait 5 minutes? I want my coffee.
Beep, beep.
Were you brought up in a bear garden?
Hey, folks, you remember the story of the three bears? And Goldilocks? You remember Goldilocks, nice little Jewish girl?
You pride yourself on your literary antecedents.
No. Now listen, seriously. Now, remember how the three bears, a house out in the woods and all, which I find hard to believe because they're not zoned for bears in Scarsdale. But anyway, their porridge was too hot.
What are we, a bunch of dumbbells? What's your point?
Well, as you may recall, the three bears went out for a walk while waiting for their porridge to cool. Are you guys with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
And then Goldilocks comes in and starts bouncing around on the furniture and making a pig of herself. Well, now, my question is, why did they stay out so long? How long does it take a bowl of porridge to cool? I mean, didn't they realize it would be stone cold by the time they got back?
What is your point?
The point is, bears have no sense of time.
That's incredible. Now, I never would have thought of that.
Well, hasn't that water boiled yet?
Watch pot never boils, George.
Bring it in when it's ready.
I'll be right in, baby.
Yeah, I'll have some more coffee, too, when it boils.
No trouble. So where are you staying in Terminus? With Eleanor?
No, at Murray's place for a few nights, and then with my father. Hey, Murray just bought a house. He's planning to really fix it up. Well, he's already put in about $1,000.
But you'll be seeing Eleanor.
Well, sure, of course. Well, she's the one who talked me into going down for a visit. Oh, I'll see the whole crowd. Larry and Roxy and Liz and Jennifer and Tom.
How much is this whole trip costing you?
Marcy, you never used to be so nosy.
I was just curious. You're always saying how you don't have any money.
Well, not that it's any of your business, but the plane ticket and everything else is coming to about $300.
Wow.
I had to borrow money from Rick at work. I'll be going without lunch for weeks when I get back.
You don't have to tell me. I was just interested.
Sorry, Marcy. I guess this trip is the news event of the week, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Marcy, pass me those sunglasses. How about it? Do I look like a movie star?
I think it would bother me after a while not seeing your eyes.
Nah, it's too dark in here to wear them anyway. Hey, listen. Can I tell you a secret? I don't want to move out of here right now. Oh, believe me, I'd love to get a place of my own, maybe even with a view of something more than a brick wall. But I just can't afford it right now. And I've tried to drop hints to Phoebe, but I think she's still hoping she can talk me into it. I mean, I guess I should tell her, but I...
So she's really serious about you all getting a place together.
Oh, she reads the apartment listings every day. I don't know if she's found anything worth going to look at yet.
What about Julian? Does he want to move?
Oh, he's just as strapped as I am. He'd like his own place too, you know, but... I mean, the whole idea was that if Phoebe could find somewhere we could all afford, we'd go. But I don't think she will. And if things work out in Terminus... Well, I can't go into the details, but there's a possibility I might be going there more often. But I just don't want Phoebe to be disappointed.
She's got to learn to take care of herself, Red.
Well, she takes care of herself.
She expects other people to solve her problems for her. She keeps dragging other people into her plans.
Well, I think she's very independent.
She makes it hard enough for other people to get along with her. She'd better be. George keeps telling me to get her to leave. He says he wishes she'd stay away from here completely until he finishes his article.
Well, why doesn't he tell her himself?
He can't stand that kind of confrontation. Well, you see, I didn't watch the kettle and it boiled.
So, what happened to the glorious friendship between you two?
We're friends. We just haven't been getting along lately. I'm going to take George's coffee. You know what a fiend he is before he's had his slow speed. Would you get that? I'm not dressed.
Coming. Hold on. Yeah, I'll get it.
Hey, Red, how's it going?
Hey, Butch. What's a good word?
How about curmudgeon? Terrific word.
Now, will the FCC let you say curmudgeon?
Sorry, I haven't read up on the latest rulings. So you're on your way today, off into the wild blue yonder.
Yeah, for 1 week. I managed to convince the store that they owed me the time. Oh, they hemmed and hawed. They decided to tempt life without me for a while. There'll probably be a huge stack of complaints on my desk when I get back.
What did they do before they met you? Well, very classy. How long? A 34?
Yeah.
They look like they belong on a yacht with a blue blazer. You trying to impress the ladies?
No, I just thought it was time I took advantage of my employee discount.
Oh, I see.
Could you hand those to me? Yeah, thanks. Oh, I guess that does it for packing. Care for a pre-takeoff smoke? I guess it's a staying behind smoke for you.
Can't refuse that.
So, what's new and exciting on the lower police side?
Oh, nothing new in my life. Cecily's going through immense traumas, though. She's trying to break up with her shrink. It seems that leaving one shrink is a major life crisis. Of course, having a shrink seems to be a continual crisis. At least for Cecily it is. Either they don't talk about anything serious and she's worried she's not making any progress, or else they do talk serious, and she gets depressed, having to think about all this stuff she'd rather forget.
Yeah, but she gets paid for doing what she wants to do. I thought that was a sign of successful adjustment. So what's she need a shrink for?
Beats me. I can understand why some people go to them. It's a bourgeois affectation, one of those pseudo-service professions a wealthy middle class can support. But Cecily, she's an intelligent person. Why does she fall for it? I can understand her having problems dealing with what happened to her old man, but... what's past is past. If she were dredging it all up to write a novel or something, that would
So is she going to break up with her shrink?
Well, apparently her shrink claims that it's just when the patient thinks the shrinkage isn't doing any good, that's when it's just about to do the most good. So she's scared to quit, and she might miss out on her breakthrough, see? And then she worries that the shrink's going to think she's really flaky leaving at the critical moment.
Ooh, sounds like this shrink has covered every angle.
Sounds that way to me, too, but Cecily can't believe anything bad about her shrink, because how could she have poured her heart out to a schmuck, right? Well, enough about my home life. Let's talk of something else. How's your novel coming along?
I'm going to bring it home to Terminus and have this friend of mine read it. I wanted to get her opinion before I started rewriting.
Whose opinion?
Eleanor. I told you about her, haven't I?
Oh, yes, the fair Eleanor.
She's got this terrific sense of what works and what doesn't. Well, she doesn't read as much as people here in New York. She reads a lot of junk for recreation, how-to books. She doesn't have this critical axe to grind. I mean, like George. I mean, he's impossible that way. He's got so many ideas about what writing should be that he can't read like a normal person. But Eleanor...
Are you staying with her down there?
Come on, Butch. I'd get my face broken for that. I'm going to stay at my father's for a few days and Murray's the rest of the time. Sort of divided up between filial duty and fun.
If I'm keeping the cast of characters straight, I thought she'd left him.
Well, she and Murray still see each other. They're trying to be good friends.
But you're not involved with her.
It would look like I was. Hey, people take romance very seriously down there. It's not like you non-possessive northerners. Something like Marceline carried on with Jay, and George and his bunny collection. And George and Marceline still considering themselves married. If that happened down south, one of them would have gotten shot by now. Well, plus wits, there's a whole contingent of the crowd that thinks Eleanor and Murray should get back together.
So?
So, I'm supposed to be a good friend of Murray's. People down there still believe in honor and loyalty and all those old-fashioned virtues. I wouldn't be acting like a gentleman if I made a play for Eleanor before she's broken up with him for good.
Oh, come off it, Red. Gentlemanly? For God's sake, people should have whatever kind of sex lives they want. Monogamy goes against human nature anyhow.
Look, Butch, I don't want to get into an argument about morals. I'm not putting down the local customs here. And if I fit in better down there, I'd probably still be there. All I meant was, as far as my social life in Terminus is concerned, and believe me, it's complicated enough already, it just wouldn't be a wise move for people to start talking about me and Eleanor. What time is it?
Nearly noon.
I'm all right. I'm planning to treat myself to a cab to the airport. I wonder where Phoebe is.
Yeah, where is she?
I don't know. She was going to come out to the airport with me. I told her I'd pay her cab fare back if she'd come along.
I see.
Well, it's nice to have someone see you off on a trip.
What exactly is the deal with you two, if I'm not being too personal?
What do you mean, what's the deal?
You and Phoebe.
We're good friends. Can a man and a woman be friends in this liberated age?
Don't play dumb, Red. Rumors reach me to the effect
that... Who's been talking to you?
Let's just say the grapevine. Plus, what I can see with my writer's acute sensitivity to the subtlest nuances of human expression.
What's your point, buddy?
You really don't know what I'm getting at?
No, I don't.
You're leading her on, Red.
Don't be ridiculous. She's not being led anywhere. Think she's the kind of person you could lead anywhere?
You're kidding yourself.
Hey, Phoebe and I are
adults. Tune in again some other time for more plot complications of Our Life Together Among the Works of Art. Brought to you by the Serious Magazine Readers of America. The folks who
say,
if you're sick and tired of the same old stories of loving and losing, if you want to read something you can really get your teeth into, then why not read some entertaining and instructive articles on foreign policy and modern fiscal management? You'll find all this excitement and more under the covers of your favorite Serious Magazine.
I can't believe you actually came over here to give me that little speech before I left.
Sorry, buddy. I guess you can't tell someone what they don't want to hear.
Just quit telling me how to run my relationships with people.
This episode was written by Jessica Ramey. And featured
Robert Kenneth Red,
Peter Armstrong as George,
Pope Brock as Butch,
Araminta Ditch as Marceline,
and Adrian Cronauer as the narrator, for what it's worth. Music by Maxwell Ramey, technical direction by Miles Smith. Recorded at the Acoustiguide Studios in New York. Produced and directed by Jessica Ramey.